So last Sunday was Pentecost, but Pete Cole didn't speak on Pentecost. So I hope you don't mind if I go back a week and just have a look at that. So we're going to turn to Acts chapter 2. And I will be speaking from the whole of Acts chapter 2, but we won't read the whole of Acts chapter 2. But we'll just read the first few verses. And so it says, when the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place, and suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Now, they were staying in Jerusalem, God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. And when they heard this sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment, because each one heard their own language being spoken. And utterly amazed, they asked, aren't all these who are speaking Galileans? How is it that each of us hears them in our native language? And it gives a long list of people from different nations. And it says, we hear them declaring the wonders of God in our own tongues. Amazed and perplexed, they asked one another, what does this mean? So I hope you're sitting uncomfortably. Comfort is the enemy of faith, I believe. And we're not called to settle and be comfortable, but we're called to be searching for something better. And I hope that you're not comfortable with the idea of church being online and enjoying this, thinking this is the way forward. In the passage here, it starts off by saying, when the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. And that is when the Holy Spirit came, when God did this mighty work amongst them, when they were all together in one place. And often through the book of Acts, we read this in Acts chapter 4. They were all together in one place praying, and the Holy Spirit filled them. In Acts 13, they were together in one place praying, and the Holy Spirit came in power and spoke and set apart Paul and Barnabas for their work. And we should have this longing, I hope, in us, this discomfort with being doing church in this way, and longing to be back together in one place. Something like the Jews, when they were scattered, saying next year in Jerusalem. And this should, of course, reflect the bigger discomfort that is in us, just with sensing that we are away from home while we're in the world, and that we're looking forward to that day when we will get to be with Jesus, when the new heavens and the new earth are made, and we're all together around the throne of Jesus, and we'll reach home. And so in our time here on the earth, we shouldn't be comfortable. We should be setting our hearts on pilgrimage, striving forward, forgetting what is past, pressing forward, taking our cross, which of course carrying our cross is not something of comfort, but accepting the challenge and the call to press forward with Jesus. So on the day of Pentecost, lots of strange things happened. There's wind, there's fire, there's strange languages. And the crowd ask, what does this mean? And that's a good question. And it's a question that we should ask. And today we're going to look at some of what the answer to that is. And we're helped because Peter actually answers that question. They say, what does this mean? And Peter points to what's going on, all these strange manifestations, and he says this, and he turns to what God has spoken of in his word through the prophet Joel, and he says, this is that, that what God had spoken of through Joel, that God will pour out his spirit on all peoples. This is what is happening today. And that God has come, as he promised through the prophets in times past, God has come to live amongst his people and to begin to renew all things, to start the new creation that will be fulfilled when Jesus comes again and we get to see him face to face and all things will be made new, new heaven, new earth. But that new creation starts now as God pours out his Spirit on the day of Pentecost. And so there's three things that I want to look at as we ask that question, what does this mean? Three things that I think are very relevant and important for us today of what this means. So firstly, what does this mean? Firstly, it means that it is the presence of God living by his Spirit in a people. It's the presence of God living by his Spirit in a people that creates church. Church is so much more than singing and meeting together to listen to a sermon and say prayers. We speak of this day, the day of Pentecost, as the day of the birth of the church. It is when the Spirit came and God breathed the life of his presence into just a bunch of people and transformed that bunch of people into this thing called the church. The word Spirit is the same word as breath or wind, and it reminds us of when God created Adam and he breathed into Adam, and Adam became a living being. And that is what is happening on the day of Pentecost, that God is breathing his Spirit and taking this bunch of people and giving new life, making a living, a spiritually alive people called the church. So God has always wanted to live with his people. And we see that right the way through the scriptures from the Garden of Eden, when God lived with Adam and Eve and was speaking with them. And then after sin had created this division, this separation, we see God's movement always to come back amongst his people. When the tabernacle was made, the moment it was completed, the glory of God rushed into the tabernacle as the presence of God came to live amongst his people so that Moses couldn't get in there. When the temple was made, the glory of God came down with such power and immediately so that the priests couldn't get in, because God was wanting to be amongst his people. And of course, we see God coming amongst his people when he takes on flesh and lives through his Son, Jesus Christ, amongst us. But all those times, as great as they were limited geographically to people being able to know the presence of God by those who were there, those who were able to see Jesus and walk and touch with him, the priests who were able to go into the temple. But God's presence now is coming and made available, as Joel says, that now my Spirit is poured out on all flesh, so that old and young, male and female, black and white, slave and free, everyone may know the living God, and whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. And it is this presence of God that transforms a group of people into the church. The church is so much more than just a religion or a social group or a social ministry. And without the Spirit of God, that is all that we are. We're just another bunch of people, another social club or another religion. We're no different from the Masons or from any other group of people. But when the Spirit of God comes amongst us, he transforms us into this new living being called the church. And that is what we are called to be. First of all, and above all, we are called to be the people of God, where God lives by his Spirit, a people living in communion with God, who know God as our Father, calling out by his Spirit, Abba Father, that we know God and that we are empowered by his Spirit to live for him, sanctified by his Spirit to live in holiness, set apart for him, experience and expressing the love of God through his Spirit, and delighting to know the presence of God in our hearts. I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me by his Spirit. Christ in me, the hope of glory. And this is so different from religion. And this is what God is creating on the day of Pentecost. And this is what we are meant to be, a people set apart for God by the living presence of God, of his Spirit within us. And we can understand that when we read this, that strange things are happening, amazing things, powerful things, supernatural things are happening. And religion is about what we do. But when God, the living God, the creator of all things, comes and lives amongst us, life cannot be the same. It's so much more than religion. And so this is what we need to be welcoming this disruptive, uncomfortable, life-changing, sanctifying, thrilling presence of God amongst us that will shape our lives as a people who are called to be the church. And so we need to be welcoming him amongst us. So how do we do that? How do we welcome and receive the presence of God amongst us, that we might live in this glorious new life that he's created us for and called us to? Well, fortunately, he answers this question in the passage as well, because the people ask that question. Peter, when he does his "this is that" sermon, "this is that" that Joel spoke of, he then speaks of Jesus. Jesus Christ crucified for our sins and raised to life through the resurrection and ascended to heaven, and who is now declared to be Lord and who has poured out the Holy Spirit. This sin that has separated us from God since the beginning, that Jesus has borne away in his death on the cross, he has now carried that away, that we might be reconciled to God and that he might pour out on us this presence of God into our lives. And the people in Acts 2 who are hearing this message, hear this message, hear the message of their sin, hear the message that there is, that God has come to live with them. And they say, "Well, what shall we do? Brothers, what shall we do?" And Peter answers and he says, "Repent. Turn away from the sin, from the way you've been living, and be baptized in the name of Jesus, in the name of this Savior who has come, and you will receive forgiveness. You will receive this promise of the Holy Spirit, because this promise is for everyone. This promise is for all, for you and for your children. This promise is for us here today, that just as the day of Pentecost was a day of the birth of the church, we also can receive that new birth of the Holy Spirit in us, bringing us into sonship, being part of the family of God, receiving forgiveness, receiving the presence of God in our life." And Peter says, this is for all those whom God will call. And God calls us today. And I don't know if there's people here who have never yet responded to that call. If you're going along to church, you're part of the church, but you've never responded to that call, Jesus calls you today. You know, going to a football match does not make you part of the team. You have to respond to the call of the manager of the team to join the team. And the manager of the team, Jesus, calls you today. Come and be part of my family. Be part of my team today. Respond to that call. Repent. Give your life to Jesus and receive the forgiveness and new life of the Holy Spirit. So that's the first meaning of Pentecost. The second meaning that we see here is that the kingdom of God is open to all peoples, all nations, all races. And I think it was Dave who was praying about that and sharing that God is a God who loves all people. He makes no distinction, and he's always had in view his blessing to come to all nations, all peoples. He made everyone in his image. And when he called Abraham, he announced that his plan was that all nations would be blessed in him. Now, until Jesus came, the nations would come to Jerusalem to meet with God. And of course, many were left outside of Jerusalem. Many were left outside the temple. Many nations, many peoples, people who were not whole or clean or were left outside. But God's plan had always been for his glory to cover all the earth and for his presence and blessing now to go out from Jerusalem to all people. And we see this in Jesus. We see this in Jesus as he went out to the outcast, to the rejected, to the marginalized, to the oppressed, to the poor, to the outsiders. And he made them the heroes of his stories, the Good Samaritan, the Roman centurion, the Canaanite woman, the Naaman the Syrian, and the widow of Zarephath in Luke 4, when he announced that the Spirit was on him to bring this good news to all these marginalized and poor and rejected and oppressed people. And the Spirit led him out. And on that day in the synagogue, when Jesus announced this, when the Jews heard him saying, actually, God chose Naaman the Syrian, not the Jews, and God chose the widow of Zarephath, not widows within Israel, the Jews were in uproar, in anger. And yet this is the heart of God. He's never satisfied just to bless us, but to bless us and through us, that all nations might be blessed. And so on this day, the day of Pentecost, up until this day, as we see in verse 5 there, all nations would come to Jerusalem. There were God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven had come up to Jerusalem. And up till this point, the nations would come to Jerusalem. But from this day forward, that changes. Instead of the nations coming to Jerusalem, God will go from Jerusalem out to the nations. The door of the kingdom of heaven is blown open. The glories of God, it says, were proclaimed in all languages. Because this is God who is seeking for all peoples, all nations, all races, for the outsider, the oppressed and the rejected. This is God who is reaching out with his love to all peoples. And so on the day of Pentecost, this God, the God who loves all nations and all peoples, the oppressed and the poor, this is the God who comes to live among us so that we, his people, might also express this heart of God for the nations, for the poor, for the rejected, for the oppressed. And what that says to us today, and particularly this week, is that in the church there is no place for racism. There is no place for oppression. And we need, first of all, to examine our own hearts, to examine our own church culture even, and to acknowledge where there is racism, and where we have been part of oppression, and to renounce and repent that. And beyond that, we need to be part of a gospel-shaped response to injustice around us, allowing the Holy Spirit, yes, to move us to speak up against injustice and racism, but also to be willing to leave our comfort and privilege, just as Jesus left the comfort and glory of heaven to come and live amongst an oppressed and rejected and marginalized people, and went out to them and live amongst them and sit with them, to sit with the oppressed and the rejected and the outsider. We need in the same way to be willing to leave our comfort and to go and stand with the oppressed, with the victims of injustice, and to declare to them the love of God that has blown open the doors of the kingdom of heaven, that they might know the welcome and the love of God the Father. And so the third thing that this means to us is kind of the inescapable conclusion of these first two points. And even if it wasn't made explicitly clear in the scriptures here, and that is that God calls us to mission. And Jesus, in speaking of the day of Pentecost before it happened, in Acts chapter 1 and verse 8, he says, you know, when the Spirit comes, you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, first of all, but then also going out from Jerusalem to Judea and to Samaria and, yes, to the ends of the earth. And so God has come to us by his Spirit, that living through us, his Spirit may continue his mission to bring his glory and kingdom to all peoples, and that we join with him in that. So that he gives us his Spirit, partly, so that we can know him and we can call him Father and we can sing and worship and delight in him and serve him, but also so that we might be empowered to witness to Jesus Christ by our words, by our lives, and by our deaths in Jerusalem, in our Jerusalem, in Pontypool and in Wales and the UK and to the ends of the earth. And we see this in the book of Acts, that this is the changing point. In Acts 8, yes, this up till Acts 8, they're still in Jerusalem, but that from that point, they're scattered. And as they're scattered, now the focus of the Bible, the focus of God's word, changes from Jerusalem and it turns towards the nations. So that in Acts 8, you get Philip going to Samaria. In Acts 8, you get an African eunuch coming to Christ. In Acts 9, you get Paul's call to the Gentiles. In Acts 10, you get a Roman centurion coming to faith. In Acts 11, the Greeks hear the gospel and the church is started in Antioch. In Acts 13, Paul and Barnabas are set aside for their missionary journeys. In Acts 15, there's the first ever missionary conference as the church examines what it means to take the gospel to those who are not Jews. And so there's this turning. As the Spirit comes, he moves the church out towards the nations. And so what does this mean for us? It means that our focus should not just be on church structures. Our focus should not be on church structures, but rather that our focus should be on mission as the church of Christ, that our structures and the use of our money and our resources and our time are to bring the kingdom of God into the world, to the outsider, to the rejected, to the unreached, to the Muslim, to the marginalized, to the immigrant, to all those who are outside, because the Spirit is leading us out, taking us out from our Jerusalem, out to the ends of the earth. And at this time, as we are stuck in lockdown, it's a good time for us to think about how we can do that. And when things open up again, how can we restructure our time, restructure our church, restructure our life as family, the use of our money, my own life? How can I restructure that to be orientated towards God's purpose? You're a church, you already have that in your heart, but it's good to be thinking about this again. But also, even in this time, how during this time, is there a door that is closed to the gospel, that is closed to the Spirit of God now? The doors are still open to Jesus. How can we proclaim the good news now? How can we use our homes? How, when you're out and about doing the shopping, can you meet with people and share Jesus? How online can we be ensuring that the good news of Jesus is going out and about? How can we live now as aliens who are looking forward to the fulfillment of this promise? We set our hearts on pilgrimage. And you know, if you're living and feeling this time is uncomfortable for you, then you're in a good place. For those of us who are feeling comfortable with this, we need shaking up. The gospel comes to comfort the afflicted and to afflict the comfortable, and we need to be stirred up to think about how we can live out this faith for Christ. Pentecost is carrying on throughout the world, amongst unreached peoples. The church is continuing to come to birth as the Spirit of God is convincing people of sin and bringing people to the foot of the cross of Jesus, that they might know forgiveness and new life through him. In Burkina, we're hearing about this, where the church is coming to birth, uniting races and people groups who previously have been antagonistic to one another, empowering them to witness even to the danger of their own lives. And so I pray also for a Pontypool Pentecost. That in Pontypool, you may know him by his Spirit. You may reflect his love for all people, and that God will take your church and empower you and move you to bring the light of Christ to the outside and to all nations for his glory. So thank you very much for your time and for giving me the privilege of joining with you today. God bless you.